Hello, friends. This is Fred Dominguez. One of the timeless stories in the New Testament is the record of the conversion of the Ethiopian eunuch. It is a notable record in many ways. Among the things that stand out about it is that it is, like all other records of conversion in the book of Acts, documentation of how people became Christians. The conversions that you read about in the book of Acts are not at all like the ways in which many are taught to be saved today. Second, the story of the Ethiopian validates what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7, verses 7 and 8. There Jesus said, "Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened." Third, this story reveals an attitude of heart that set the Ethiopian apart from so many in his time, and so many still today. It is this attitude and the question he asked that reflected it, to which we will give attention in our discussion this morning. The record of the conversion of the Ethiopian is found in Acts chapter 8, verses 26 through 40, and is generally well known. A man named Philip, who was one of the seven men selected by the church in Jerusalem to care for the Hellenistic widows, fled the city as a result of the persecution of Christians initiated by Saul of Tarsus. Philip traveled to the city of Samaria and began preaching to the Samaritans. His preaching was very successful, and many were being baptized into Jesus Christ as a result of it, including a man named Simon, who formerly had been a sorcerer. In the midst of this great campaign, God called Philip away. In Acts chapter 8 and verse 26, the scripture says, "But an angel of the Lord spoke to Philip, saying, 'Get up and go south to the road that descends from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is a desert road.'" When Philip followed the angel's directions, he came upon a chariot that was traveling down this wilderness road. Its occupant was an Ethiopian who was a court official of the Queen of Ethiopia. This was no ordinary man. Not only was he a high-ranking official for his queen, but he was also a Jewish proselyte. In verse 27, the scripture says that he had been to Jerusalem to worship. Now, this was no small feat, for the journey was likely about 1,000 miles each way. This suggests to us that the Ethiopian was very serious in his pursuit of God. We see this also from the fact that as he traveled on this long journey, he was reading the scriptures. His desire to serve God was such that he actively sought to learn as much as he could about him and about how to please him. When Philip came up to the chariot, he could hear that the Ethiopian was reading from the prophet Isaiah. Philip's question and the Ethiopian's answer demonstrate this man's sincere desire to know God. In verses 30 and 31, Philip asked, "Do you understand what you are reading?" And the Ethiopian replied, "Well, how could I unless someone guides me?" At the Ethiopian's invitation, Philip joined him in the chariot. And beginning at that place where the Ethiopian had been reading, he preached Jesus to him. That's what the scripture says in verse 35 of that text. Now, it is here that the Ethiopian asked the pivotal question. In verse 36, the scripture says, "As they went along the road, they came to some water. And the eunuch said, 'Look, water, what prevents me from being baptized?'" This question is important because it reflects both his awareness of what he had been taught by Philip and his desire to obey what he had been taught by Philip. It is obvious that although the scripture simply says that Philip preached Jesus to the Ethiopian, baptism had to have been a part of what Philip preached. There is no other way to explain the Ethiopian's question. He could not have known of the need to be baptized except that Philip taught him of this need. It is also obvious that the Ethiopian sincerely wanted to be baptized, and he was willing to do whatever it might take to be allowed to do so. The Ethiopian understood that baptism was necessary for salvation, but he didn't know what else might be required of him before he could be baptized. As a non-Jew who wanted to worship God according to the law of Moses, there were any number of hindrances to him. The most obvious was that he could not worship under the law of Moses until he was circumcised. For some, that might have been too great an obstacle, but not for him. In addition to this, even as a God-fearing Gentile, the Ethiopian was not allowed to enter the temple grounds. He could only come as near as the court of the Gentiles, which was even farther from the temple than the court of women. This man was aware that there are sometimes unforeseen obstacles or hindrances to the exercise of one's faith. His question to Philip is somewhat like someone today asking, "What's the catch?" In this case, however, there was no catch. His desire to be baptized into Christ was hindered by only one small thing, the profession of his faith in Jesus Christ. In Acts chapter 8 and verse 37, Philip said, "If you believe with all your heart, you may." And he answered, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." Having made that confession of faith, nothing more hindered the Ethiopian from being baptized, and Philip did so immediately. The Ethiopian went on his way rejoicing because his sins had been washed away, and Philip was snatched away by the Spirit of the Lord to go to his next preaching assignment. The Ethiopian's question was a pivotal one in his life and in his quest for eternal life. It is a question that is timeless because at some point each of us must grapple with this question. We ask and answer a form of this question many times over in the course of our lives, in various contexts. A young athlete may wonder, if not ask, "What prevents me from being on the football or baseball team?" A high school student needs to know what might prevent him or her from attending the college of his or her choice. A young man or woman wants to know what hinders him or her from getting a driver's license or joining a particular branch of the military. A person getting close to retirement needs to know what might hinder them from getting their retirement check, and so it goes. There are many other examples of situations in which we need to know what obstacles there might be to attaining our goals. Each of these circumstances are important in its own way, and some of them can have long-term effects on one's life. Yet all of these things pale in comparison to the significance of this question in reference to salvation. Ultimately, there is no more important question than what hinders or prevents me from being a Christian. A major hindrance to salvation is a lack of knowledge. The Ethiopian knew something about God and His Word, but he didn't know about Jesus and baptism for the forgiveness of sins. Try as he might, he would not gain this knowledge simply reading from the Old Testament. As he said to Philip, how could I unless someone guides me? This is why in every case of conversion in the book of Acts, teaching always precedes baptism and salvation. One cannot know how to be saved until he is taught the gospel. In the Ethiopian's case, once he did know what to do, he immediately did it and was saved. A second hindrance is an unwillingness to believe and obey once one knows the truth. In John chapter 12, verses 42 and 43, the scripture says, "Nevertheless, many even of the rulers believed in him, but because of the Pharisees, they were not confessing him for fear that they would be put out of the synagogue, for they loved the approval of men rather than the approval of God." The same kind of thing happened when Paul preached on the Areopagus in Athens. After revealing the unknown God to them, Paul declared that God was calling on all people to repent because of the impending judgment. In Acts chapter 17 and verse 32, Luke recorded their response. "Now when they heard of the resurrection of the dead, some began to sneer, but others said, 'We shall hear you again concerning this.'" In point of fact, only a handful of people became Christians as a result of Paul's preaching that day. Most of the people, like the Jews of whom John wrote, allowed their unbelief and their disobedient hearts to hinder them. This prevented them from doing what was necessary to become disciples of Christ. Unfortunately, the heirs of the Athenians and the rulers of the Jews continue to be hindered from attaining salvation. They do so in the same ways as their ancestors. In John chapter 3 and verse 36, John the Baptist spoke of such people in these words. He said, "He who believes in the Son has eternal life, but he who does not obey the Son will not see life, but the wrath of God abides on him." Now, some translations have the word believe, where the New American Standard from which I've read says obey. But the Greek text has two different words in it. The first is the commonly used word for believe, but the second word is the word for disobedience. Many today hear the truth, but refuse to believe it and obey it. Their disbelief and disobedience hinders them from receiving salvation. How sad to allow a lack of knowledge, disbelief, and disobedience to prevent oneself from being saved. There's another area in which it is appropriate to ask, what hinders me? That area is in the service that Christians offer to the Lord. We rejoice when someone obeys the gospel, having overcome all the hindrances to obedience, and rightfully so. But this is just the beginning of the story. Once one becomes a Christian, he must still do all he can to avoid the things that will hinder him from faithful service to the Lord. Jesus spoke of these things in the parable of the sower. In Matthew chapter 13, verses 3 through 9, the Lord told how the sower cast his seed, but only one part of the field turned out to be productive. When the disciples asked about the parable, he explained it to them in very simple terms. The seed that fell beside the road never germinated. This represents the one who refuses to obey the gospel. The seed that fell in the rocky soil and the seed that fell among the weeds represents those who initially obey the gospel, but then are unproductive as Christians. In the case of those who are like the rocky soil, the Lord said that they have no firm root, and they fall away when affliction or persecution arises. Such Christians are hindered because they do not grow and mature in the faith. They fail to study God's word as they should in order to be able to handle the word of truth accurately. They also neglect the assembly of the saints and thereby separate themselves from the fellowship and encouragement of fellow saints. They are hindered by their lack of diligence. In the case of those who are like the weedy soil, the Lord said that the worry of the world and the deceitfulness of wealth made these unproductive. Christians such as this are easily drawn away from faithful service by earthly concerns. It may be one's job, or it might be school activities, or hobbies, or such things as these. It might also be friends and family who are not Christians. Instead of putting God first in their lives, some Christians allow non-spiritual interests to hinder their growth and maturity. They are hindered because of their lack of emphasis on spiritual things, and as a result, they become unproductive in the Lord's service. In our walk as Christians, we must always be on the alert for things that may hinder us from being all the Lord intends us to be in His service. Like the Ethiopian about whom we read today, we need to constantly ask, what hinders me? And then, having discovered what that hindrance is, we need to set it aside in our pursuit of eternal life. There is nothing that we can do here in life, nothing that we can cling to here in life that is worth the exchange of our soul for eternity, is there? Well, as we think about these things this morning, what might be hindering you from being all you can be in the Lord's service? Have you been hindered by lack of knowledge? Are you hindered by your disobedience? Are you hindered in your Christian service because you've turned your attention to worldly things once again? Ask the question, what hinders me? Lay that thing aside and come back to faithful service in God's kingdom. Thanks very much for listening this morning. Please join us again next time for Let the Bible Speak.